Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Today is Tuesday, March 26th. My name's Todd Stiles. Glad to be with you. I'm one of the pastors at First Family Church. And on the Extra Point Podcast, we bring some additional insight, deeper observation, further application to the text from which we preached the previous Sunday. Last Sunday, it was Palm Sunday. We spent our entire time focused on the atonement, five aspects about it that really helped us value it more. One thing I did not address and want to address on this episode of the Extra Point Podcast is this question: is the atonement definite? It's a great question. It'll breed some feelings all across the spectrum of theological beliefs. Let me share with you what I believe the answer is. And I think the answer has to be yes. I mean, think about it. Do you want the atonement to be indefinite? And admittedly, there's some words in play here. When we speak of definite, we're actually asking about its definition. So do we want the atonement to be undefined or indefinite or with no parameters? And I think the answer is no, we don't want that. And so when you ask the question, is the atonement definite? I think the only answer theologically and even logically is yes. In other words, we don't want to say the atonement is just a possibility. I think we want to be able to say the atonement was accomplished. After all, the words of the text we looked at last Sunday, Jesus said it is finished. And so this is a really important aspect of the atonement that I think we need to get our hands around. And I would say, being willing to say, yes, the atonement is definite. Now, this brings up a number of questions. Let me walk you through some of them. Let me bring some various tensions that exist in relation to this question, and I believe what is true, that the atonement is definite. I'll bring some tensions into this, because what we're really asking is, what is the scope of the atonement? In other words, what are its parameters, and who does it affect? So yes, the atonement, I believe, does have a definite scope, the scope of the atonement being the church that Christ purchased. So if you were to ask me, Todd, what are the parameters of the atonement? Or you could say, give us some insight on its definiteness, if you want to use it that way. It is definite towards and to and for the church. I'd remind you, Acts chapter 20, I believe it's verse 28, says very plainly and clearly that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. So again, it leans into the atonement, redemption, the price that was paid, and here it is for a specific group, the church. Now, this brings to mind another tension. So are we saying, Todd, or are you saying, Todd, that the atonement is limited? And so that's the other term used for this concept. I don't like the word limited, so I don't ever use it. I don't talk about limited atonement. I do talk about definite atonement. I'm okay with the word particular atonement. I don't like limited. Here's why. I think the atonement was sufficient for all, and if the whole world were to believe, it would be sufficient. However, the atonement is actually only efficient for those who believe, which is the church. That's who he purchased. And so there is some splitting of hairs here. There's some tension, and there's some aspects of this that are hard for us to even get our hands around. What we know we must believe and have to hold on to, and yet how it sometimes conflicts with our own human abilities and intellectual capacities. So I'm content saying that, yes, the atonement is sufficient. If the whole world were to believe, Jesus wouldn't need to die again or shed extra blood. But in reality, it's only efficient for the church, those who will believe. And I hold to the fact that God knows who those are. He has called them. He has elected them. He has chosen them before the foundation of the world. So he knows, and that's whom the Son purchased. So again, this does bring up some tensions. some questions in relation to that view, which I hold to, and which leads me to say the atonement is definite. It's particular. It's aimed at a specific, you know, scope. Some would say, well, Todd, what about that verse that says he died for the sins? He died for our sins and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. It's 1 John chapter 2, I believe it is. That's a great question. It doesn't conflict in my mind, and I don't think it presents as a problem or a contradiction. You know, notice that the phrase, he died for the sins of the whole world, it follows the phrase, he died not only for our sins. So I take the word our, the pronoun there, this personal statement by the author, meaning the Jews. Yes, he died for our sins, but not for ours only, for the sins of the whole world. And I think whole world there be tantamount or equal to Gentiles. So does he mean there every single person is automatically just forgiven? They receive it regardless of their response. Or does he mean there every kind of other person? Speaking of ethnicities, which would really lean into the whole concept that Jesus has promised that there'd be people from every nation, language, tribe, and tongue. In other words, there'll be people from the entire world who will be at the throne. And I tend to think Christ's atonement, his death for the sins of the entire world, speaks to that point, that there will be people from every ethnicity, every nation, language, tribe, and tongue, every single language group will be at the throne, though, admittedly and heartbreakingly, not every single person from every ethnicity. And so in this sense, the atonement, the blood of Christ, is completely sufficient for every single person from every single language group who will be gathered at the throne. It's sufficient and efficient. And if that group is or were, let's say in a hypothetical world, to be every single person ever created, Christ's single death would be enough. But we know that isn't the case. Matthew 7 teaches us that. 1 Peter 3 teaches that. And though it breaks our heart, we know that there are those who will not believe, who don't believe, who will reject Jesus. And so we have to say in all theological reality and in all logical reality, then the death of Christ is only efficient for those who do and will believe. So in my frame of reference, in my theological viewpoint, I do believe the atonement is sufficient and efficient at the same time, but in different ways and for a different scope. That's why I say the atonement is definite. It's not undefined. It's not indefinite. I don't think it's limited, because that speaks to more of its power. And I don't want to attribute any kind of limitation to the atonement, but in its actual effectual work, it is for the church that God called and that Christ purchased and then the Holy Spirit applied during and upon the act of faith and regeneration and conversion. So there's a lot in play here. But to this question, in a most succinct fashion, is the atonement definite? I stand with a clear and unapologetic answer. Yes, the atonement is definite. And I think that's great news. It's comforting news. Here's why. Because it shows the sovereignty and ownership and intentionality of God's work, specifically in the atonement. In other words, the atonement is no accident. It's not man's invention. It's not a plan B. It's not God's, you know, last-minute option. It's not like some kind of, as we said Sunday, a release valve in case of emergency. I mean, none of that's in play here. Christ's death, his purchase of the church with his own blood, was planned before the foundation of the world. This was an eternal plan of God. It was intentional, proactive, sovereign. As Psalm 3 says, salvation belongs to the Lord. And we preach and teach here congregationally, publicly, and I hold to it personally, that every bit of salvation is God's work. It solely and wholly belongs to him. And so that's why I say the atonement is surely definite. All of those words, that language, it speaks to a definite, intentional, sovereign, divine act of God upon those whom He has called and whom Christ purchased. I'd say that's very definite.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.